Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Go with me to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Then he, that is Jesus, spoke a parable to them, that man always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So this is really regarding the last days, the end times. There's coming the day of what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. For the believer, for those that are in faith, it's called the day of salvation. The day of the Lord, it's a day we're looking forward to. But for the unbeliever, for those that have done evil, it's the day of the vengeance of our God. Make no mistake, that day draws nigh. But it's an interesting question Jesus asks. When the Son of Man comes, that's the second coming, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? Because we know that the last days will be terrible days where many will turn from the faith. You have to be in the faith to turn from the faith or fall from the faith. The last days, great apostasy. The word apostasy comes from the Greek word apostasia, which means departure. People that will depart from the faith. So we are living in those times where we have to really keep ourselves right. Because the day is coming when the Lord will avenge his people. Amen. But he asked this question, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? So that's interesting. So will he find faith, or will he find those that are faithful? Amen. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Then go with me to Matthew 24, verses 9 through 14. So Jesus wants to come back and find a church that is in faith and faithful, full of faith. Amen. Not a backslidden, lukewarm church. Because you know what he said about that kind of church, right? He will do what? Spew them, vomit them out of his mouth. He wants us to be either hot or cold, not lukewarm, either in or out. But we got to be in faith. So Matthew 24, 9 through 14. Again, speaking of the end times, the last days. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. What a terrible way to be, my God. But we've seen that's happening in the world. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You can see that offense comes before deception. Offense always leads to deception. That's why you got to protect your heart. And because lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. Now, what something important to understand is, Bible says faith works by love. Faith works by love. That's why when the love of many will grow cold, right, they will begin to turn away from the faith because of lawlessness. And that is really the spirit of the world that we're coming into. I mean, what's happening in our nation is just all plain lawlessness. What's happening in the world, I don't know if you saw that a few days ago in France, they constitutionally, they constitutionalized abortion. They made it a constitutional right to have an abortion, and people were on the streets celebrating, just waving flags by the tens of thousands, and the dominoes will begin to fall. You see what's happening in our nation, literally with the open borders. I just saw that statistic that probably close to 20 million people over the last 4 years have come in illegally into our nation. Just about 320,000 people were flown in last year, bypassing the border because they wanted to not see what's going on. So they were just flown in secretly, and many cities are being overrun. And the idea is to create civil war, lawlessness. I was seeing videos from Chicago and New York and some of these places where now the local gangs are fighting with these illegal gangs that have come in, because a lot of people that have come in are criminals. I'm not just talking about, you know, they want us to just, you know, and of course you got preachers preaching that, you know, we need to welcome and open arms and stuff, but you don't understand the agenda behind it. These are not just people coming here. Many of them were brought in. You got terrorist cells all over now. Who knows what's going to be happening? I mean, they want to blow this nation up. They want to create chaos. You saw this new movie coming out called Civil War, you know, where Americans are fighting each other, not killing each other. I mean, that's exactly what they want. They want anarchy and lawlessness and chaos on the streets. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it is what's happening. I'm not just going to go la, 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 let's hold hands and sing kumbaya. It is what it is. We're dealing with wicked agendas, demonic, diabolical agendas, and it's nothing new. It's been happening for many, many years. Now I'm hearing about it, and my wife was telling me, she actually, I can't remember if she said she had a vision or a dream or something, but, you know, she saw that they're going to be bringing in and actually drugs into our nation, Turkey, because there's so much unemployment and restlessness, and they've been doing this for years now in these countries that have been destabilizing. I know for a fact, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that the actual government of Iran was allowing the opium to come in from Afghanistan, because when you're dealing with 40% unemployment with the age of 30 and under, they're restless. They're ready to go on the streets, protest, fight, overthrow the government. So they got them all doped up on opium, and they're just all gone, and they offer no threat or resistance. And they're now doing, and they've been doing, they're doing it in America, the whole opioid and fentanyl crisis. It's all by design. You need to understand, there are diabolical, wicked agendas. Lawlessness is going to be the order of the day. I mean, before the coming of the Lord. And the Bible calls the man of lawlessness shall be revealed, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. But the church, we have to hold the ground and occupy till he comes and be the victorious church, the church that is in faith, that is engaged in the spiritual warfare, not, you know, on a cruise boat, but on a battleship. Hallelujah. We got to sound the alarm, and we got to win the souls, because right after this, Jesus says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And then this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. So we are getting ready for the end of the age, which is the glorious appearing of our Lord. The Bible says it's the glorious appearing of our Lord for the faithful church. That's why we are encouraged and admonished in a way to endure to the end, to stay in faith, to protect our hearts, not be offended, you know, not get deceived and not fall away from the faith, but to stay in faith, because Christ is coming back for a church that is faithful without spot or blemish, because he's coming back for a bride, not a harlot. And we have a harlot church that's rising up. And it's been happening for a long time. It's the apostate church, the harlot church, that is in bed with the world, drunk on the wine of the fornication of Mystery Babylon, all the false religious, demonic filth of the world. And I really feel led now to be sharing on these things because I just sense that, you know, some crazy things are going to happen leading up to, especially to this election. They're going to try to throw this nation into chaos. Many nations are already in chaos. You know, much of Europe has been gone for a long time. I mean, God's moving there. I'm not saying God's not moving, but, you know, and they've been trying to catch America up. But it's when wickedness is normalized, you know you're in a time of lawlessness. So we have to be in faith. We have to be a church that is in faith. God has called us to be a church in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why do we need to be in faith? In order to please God. How many of you want to please God? So you have to be in faith to please God. Secondly, Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. Faith works by love. Love has to be the motivation behind everything. Faith will not work in your life when you're offended, when you have unforgiveness, when you're not loving your neighbor, when you don't love God, when you're not walking in love. Faith will not work. That's why Jesus said, if you want to speak to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. You got to believe with your heart, not doubt. Speak it with your mouth, and you shall have what you say. But then he says, when you stand to pray, make sure that you forgive, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. So you got to keep your heart pure and clean and soft and tender in these days. Amen. Amen. And then Romans 14:23 says, everything that is not of faith is sin. So how do you make sure that you're in faith? That means you're obeying God's word. You're in line with the will of God and the word of God. Because faith begins where the will of God is known, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So the more word you hear, again, willing to hear, not just hear with your ears, but truly hear. I want to hear the word. I want my spirit to receive the word of God. I want the word of God to go deep in my spirit and just burn in my belly. I want the word of God to just to be implanted in my heart and bear great fruit. I'm going to receive it as a seed into my heart. I am receiving the word. Hallelujah. That means you have to give the word of God the utmost respect and reverence in your life. If the word of God is just somebody, is just the same as somebody else's opinion, right? The word of God is exalted above God's name. God has exalted his word above his name. That means the word of God is absolutely the highest authority. It's the ultimate. Whatever God's word says, that settles it for me. I don't care what man says. I don't care what they constitutionalize. I don't care. I'm believing the word of God. And there are people right now in the world that are living under oppressive regimes where even being a Christian or having a Bible is illegal, and you could be executed for with capital punishment, but yet the church is thriving in those nations because there's no compromise. Yet we live in a society where there's so much compromise and everything's so easy and comfortable. But I'm going to tell you right now, things are going to get really challenging here in America. You ain't seen nothing yet. You know, we saw a glimpse of it through COVID, you know. And then, you know, and there's a lot of people that really woke up to some things. I know people that didn't even believe in God, that they begin to awake to what was going on in the world and begin to search and actually got saved through it. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're watching on the broadcast. But, you know, you begin to see the shaking. And then you begin to realize, man, I better be on solid ground. Because this ground under me is very shaky. So everything in the world is shaky. And it will be shaken. God's word said everything that must be shaken will be shaken. And when it's shaken, you find out if it's solid or not. When the shaking begins to happen, you find out if you built your life on the sand or the rock. Come on, somebody. So faith is the rock. Standing in faith, church in faith, the church that is in faith is standing on the rock of God's word, which is the unshakable foundation. When you are standing on the rock of God's word, you have an unshakable foundation. I don't care if everything is being shaken around you, you will stand strong. As it says in Ephesians 6, you will stand when you've done all Stand, therefore, stand. Stand on the word. Stand on the rock of salvation. Jesus, the word. Hallelujah. Taking up the shield of faith. Taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Standing in faith. We need to stand in faith. Hallelujah. Romans 14:23. Everything that is not of faith is sin. Because everything that is not of faith is against God's word. That means you're not obeying God's word and you're in disobedience. And of course, we know that the original sin is really when Adam and Eve, or Eve basically said no to the word of God. Well, the devil came and said, no, you won't die, will you? No, you won't die. Go ahead and eat it. Yeah, I'll eat it and I won't die. So God said a word and then she came against the word, right? She went against the word. She disobeyed the word of God. And so anytime you disobey God's word is sin. The third thing you need to know about standing in faith, according to James chapter 2, verse 20, faith without works or action is dead. That means faith also requires you to act. Hallelujah. It's one thing to stand, it's another thing to walk by faith. Hallelujah. And keep going and keep going and keep walking by faith and keep walking through. You're going to walk through some circumstances. How many of you ever walk through circumstances? You're going to walk through some adversity. How many of you ever walk through some adversity? You're going to walk through some challenges. How many of you walk through some challenges? Your faith might even be tested and shaken. How many of you ever had your faith tested and shaken and you thought you were going to, man, I can't do this. I'm going to give up. No, you did not give up. Do not give up. You keep going. Hallelujah. The word of God is going to work. You will prevail. You will overcome. You will endure to the end and you shall be saved. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Another thing, the fourth thing you need to know about faith is faith requires obedience. Romans 1 and 5 and 16 and 26. Faith of Abraham is given as an example of immediate and unquestioned obedience. When God spoke to Abraham, Bible says he woke up early next morning before sunrise and he got on his way. He didn't wait till noon. He didn't wait till the evening. He didn't sit around procrastinating whether I should do it or not. He woke up early. As soon as he could get going, he got going. That's what you need to do. You need to just get going ASAP, immediately. Because the longer you wait, the more you'll procrastinate. The more you'll start to reason things out and the more you start to think it over and then analyze it, and then you won't do it. Because you'll come up with all the different reasons why it won't work if you get your head in the way. God spoke to you, immediately step out in faith and do it. Some of you, you've been waiting on things. You've been procrastinating. Unfortunately, I can't cast out procrastination. Pastor, I'm just such a procrastinator. Would you lay hands on me, cast out procrastination? I cannot cast out. I'd have to kill you because it's your flesh. I'd have to shoot you and kill you because it's your flesh that's procrastinating. You're in the flesh when you're procrastinating. You're in the spirit when you're taking the step of faith, because faith is a spirit. You have to have a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Pastor, I know God spoke, but I just haven't done it. I can't cast out stupid. In every person, there is a stupid. It's called the flesh. Stupid is as a stupid does. And life is like a box of chocolates. No, it ain't. You never know what you're going to get. Yeah, you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get exactly what the word of God says you're going to have. You're going to get exactly what the word of God says. So open the box of chocolates and find out what's in the box. Hallelujah. Well, you know, brother, God just moves in mysterious ways. You never know what he's going to do. You know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do exactly what his word says is going to happen. He's going to do exactly what he promised he will do when you do your part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fifth thing you need to know about being in faith, through faith and patience, you shall inherit the promises, according to Hebrews 6:12. Faith and patience. Sometimes I have faith, but I don't have patience. I want it, and I wanted it now. And I think I'm in faith, but then God says, you know what? You are in faith, but you're not patient. Sometimes you're patient. You're just waiting and waiting, waiting and waiting, and you waited so long, you stop being in faith. And you just think God's just going to do it himself and somehow it's going to fall out of the sky and fall in your lap. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have to still do something in faith, believe and take a step of faith. So when the timing is there, you have to step out and do it. So through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. Hallelujah. Some things you have to wait for, but then you can end up waiting so long that you're now no longer believing. You have to always be believing and receiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody here tonight? The sixth thing you need to know about being in faith is you walk by faith and not by sight, which is really the theme of this year, isn't it? There's going to be a separation between those who walk by faith, which is vision, and those who walk by sight, which is a function of your eyes. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. See, sight is a function of your natural sight, eyesight, seeing. Seeing is believing, is what the world says. No, believing is seeing. It's the opposite in the kingdom way. Hallelujah. You got to see it in here. You got to believe it before you see it out there. Hallelujah. And that's called walking by vision. And this is going to be a year of separation between those who walk by vision and those who walk by sight. What is vision? Vision is something that's revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. Vision is in the future. God shows you. Jesus said, when the Spirit of God comes, he will show you all the things to come. Hallelujah. That means, I mean, it's just unfair. We actually can see into the future. It's just unfair to the devil and the world, really, that we have the ability to see into the future. What are you, some prophet? Yeah, actually, I have the spirit of prophecy on the inside of me. Hallelujah. I get words of knowledge and words of wisdom. I know what's happening. I have the gift of discerning of spirits. I can see into the realm of the spirit. I get words of wisdom. I can see into the future and I get strategies and I know what to do. Not only do I see what's coming, but I also know what to do when I see what's coming. Hallelujah. It's just unfair to the devil. It really is. It's just, we just have an unfair advantage, don't we? God never said it'll be fair. He said it'll be grace is a supernatural favor. It means you have an unfair advantage because you have favor. When people are about to go say, yes comes out. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. When you look at things by sight, you'll be shaken. But when you see things through the Spirit, you'll walk right through those situations and circumstances and you'll walk in victory. You'll come out on the other side. Jesus said, go to the other side, and on the way a storm breaks out and they're all looking at the storm and they already forgot. They're not looking at the other side anymore. They're looking at the storm. Hallelujah. When Jesus got in the boat, they went to the other side. Hallelujah. So this eighth thing you need to know about walking or being in faith, being a church in faith is the seventh thing. Did I say seven? Seventh thing. By faith we overcome the world, according to 1 John 5 and 4. By faith we overcome. By faith we overcome the world, according to 1 John 5 and 4. So yeah, the world system, it's advancing. It's advancing. All the stuff they've already prepared. FDA just approved little tiny pills that have microchips and sensors in them that people can actually take. Tracking devices and all kinds of stuff. And they're telling people how wonderful it is. There's even tattoos now. You can get tattoos. The tattoo is literally just all technology and digital everything. It's right there. The mark of the beast is just being rolled out right in front of our eyes. It's happening. I'm so excited. You know why? Because I won't be here for it. That means I'm getting out of here soon. I'm already marked, so I've already been marked by the blood of Jesus. In my right, that's right, on my right thumb and my right earlobe, I've already been marked by the blood of Jesus. I'm a priest, a royal priesthood. I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Seal, it's a sign also. So I've already been signed or marked by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's the earnest, the deposit, the down payment of our salvation. The fact that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you all speak in other tongues? You're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's a sign right there. That's a sign right there. You belong to God. Here's my mark. Bromba brasha katalamanda. It's a sign. It's a sign that I've been filled and sealed and signed and delivered by the Holy Ghost. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Come on, somebody. The fact that the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. That same Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you, the same Holy Ghost that's going to change you in the blink of an eye. It's going to quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. Corruptible will put on incorruptible. Mortality will put on immortality. And your earthly body will be changed in the blink of an eye to a celestial, heavenly, spiritual body. And you're going to fly out of here. And when the trumpet sounds and the shout of the archangel will be caught up yonder, will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air on the clouds at the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to get the heaven out of here. But until then, we have to endure to the end. We have to stay in faith. As many will fall from the faith because they will be walking by sight. And by faith, we overcome the world and all that is happening in the world. The eighth thing you need to know about being church in faith is you should have the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. What is the spirit of faith? Spirit of faith. What is the spirit? We what? We believe God's word and we what? Speak God's word. Therefore, having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. The spirit of faith believes God's word and speaks God's word. We have to excel in faith and in speech. Not only believing, but also speaking the word of God. Excel in faith and in speech. Speaking the word of God. Speaking faith over your circumstances. Not defeat, but faith and victory. Not speaking your circumstances. Speaking to your circumstances. Jesus never said, speak about the mountain. He says, speak to the mountain. Most people, all they do is they speak about the mountain. And the more they speak about the mountain, the bigger the mountain gets. It was a little molehill, but now it's like Mount Everest. Because they've been talking about it so much. And they show everybody their mountain. Look at my mountain. Look how big it is. I've had this mountain for, 35 years now. They carry their mountain around like a little pet. Look at my mountain, how big it is. That's why I'm in the shape and condition that I'm in. Look how terrible it is. Amen. And then other people come around and go, yeah, look at how big your mountain is. Oh, yeah, wow. And their mountain has become their identity. Why they never do anything and never overcome anything. Therefore, having the same spirit of faith, we believe God's word, therefore we speak God's word. The ninth thing you need to know about being a church in faith. Faith holds onto the confession of faith and the promises of God. Holding fast, the Bible says, to the confession of faith. Hebrews 4:14 and 10:23. What does that mean, holding fast to the confession of faith? If you actually look at that, it means being consistent, consistently saying the same thing, right? Not changing what you say. Yes. Not yes one day, no the other day. Not victory one day and defeat the next day. You gotta hold fast. You gotta hold fast to the confession of your faith. That means you gotta keep saying the same thing. Yes. Holding fast, being consistent. Amen. Being consistent in what you believe and what you speak. Hallelujah. Kujesu bambalela, hold on to Jesus. Hold on, hold on, hold fast, hold on to the word, hold on to the confession of your faith. Be consistent in what you're speaking. Speak it consistently. Establish a consistency in your life of saying and speaking God's word. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to hear anymore about what happened to you in your childhood. You know, they locked me in the refrigerator. Half of my brain froze. If you're past your teenage years, I don't want to hear about anymore what happened in your teenage years. Move on. Let go and move on and speak into your future. Speak the word. I don't want to hear about the bankruptcy and the divorce anymore. And it can't be the excuse anymore for why you won't move forward. I don't want to hear about the doctor's report anymore. I want to hear a faith report. I want to hear a faith report. I want to hear you speak that you are healed. You were and you are and you will remain healed. That you're blessed and prosperous. I want to hear some prosperity coming out of your mouth. Saying, I'm abundantly supplied. I'm living in the overflow. All my needs are met, abundantly supplied, filled to the full and overflowing. I have an abundance for every good work. All grace abounds towards me always in everything. I'm self-sufficient. Having an abundance. Hallelujah. My cup is running over. I don't want to hear anymore. They stole my cup. Man, they stole my cup. I want to hear praise songs, not country or western songs coming out. The dog died, the truck broke down, and the wife left. And I'm hitting the bottle, the whiskey. My best friend Jim Beam and Jack Daniels, we're hanging out together. No wonder you're a mess. Fellowshipping with Jose Cuervo. Captain Morgan. Hey, Mike. My wife's like, what are those things? They're names of liquor brands, whiskey and tequila and whatever else, and rum. Many Christians, they have God light because they drink too much Bud Light. And God's written Ichabod on their door. The glory is departed because of Michelob. As soon as something goes wrong, the first thing they do is they run to something. Trying to find comfort or... But the comfort is in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is your comforter. Not Southern comfort, Holy Ghost comfort. In your country, everybody goes runs to vodka. They're having vodka with their breakfast. Their best friend, Mr. Smirnoff. And they wonder why they never get a breakthrough, because of the stuff. And then some snort cocaine, others snort really Jane. Hail Mary, full of grace. Oh, Lord. They're smoking some bad religious weed. And I'm very serious about it. The 10th thing you need to know about being a church in faith. According to Ephesians 3:17, faith is grounded on truth and grace. Faith is grounded on truth and grace. You have to be grounded on the truth. And you have to be seasoned with grace. Hallelujah. Some of you were so hardened when you came here. We've been soaking you in grace. You're becoming tenderized in grace. The love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost whom he has given you is the hardness of your heart's been melting away. You've been softened, tenderized. Hallelujah. Marinating in grace. Sprinkling truth on you. Truth. There you go, sir. Let that joy bubble out your belly. The 11th thing you need to know about being a church in faith is you must take up the shield of faith to guard against the fiery darts of the enemy, according to Ephesians 6:16. The fiery darts, the fiery arrows. The lies, the accusations, the thoughts, they're being thrown against you. They're being sent against you, shot against you. You have to guard against the fire darts of the enemy by the shield of faith. Taking up the shield of faith. Some of y'all put it down, take it up again, pick it up and guard your heart. Hallelujah. You've had a few fiery darts stick in you and it's been, I pull them out in Jesus' name right now. So I must take up the shield of faith to guard against the fiery darts of the enemy. Hallelujah. What could that be? A phone call you receive, all of a sudden bad news. Something crazy. You wake up to it and there's a message. You go to work. Some demon-possessed coworker comes. You come to church. Some backslidden Christian comes. Words that are spoken. That's what the fire darts are. Mainly they're words that are spoken. And the 12th and final thing about being a church in faith is, according to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. When your faith is tested, James 1, 2 through 4. When your faith is tested, guess what happens? You develop endurance, which makes you perfect and complete. The testing of your faith, the Bible says, the testing of your faith builds endurance. Guess what happens when you want everything in life to be easy and soft? Your faith is never tested, and you do not develop endurance. People that are soft and weak are people that have never had their faith tested. I'd rather have someone who has, I read a lot of these things with the billionaires and successful people, and I think it was Warren Buffett, he said he never hired anybody into any level of management who had not failed in life and overcome it. If they came with their Harvard MBAs and their Yale degrees and their Ivy League degrees and all they did was talk about how great they are and how successful they are, he showed them the door. He says, tell me about your failures. Oh, I've never failed. Okay, I don't want you then. Your faith has to be tested and you have to overcome. You've got to go through things and adversity, and the testing of your faith is what builds endurance. And you need endurance to run this race, because it's not a 100-yard dash. It's a lifelong marathon you're running. It's a long distance cross country. Over hills and valleys and all kinds of stuff. It's not even a flat road. It's got bumps in the road, valleys and mountains and some crooked paths, but he'll make them straight. And sometimes you come and it seems there's no way. Wait a minute, I'm where am I going? There's no way. And then he makes that way. You run other times you come to the Jordan and you need the waters to part. And then you come to the Red Sea and you need the waters to part so you can walk on dry land. And the hand of God comes and makes a way where there seems there is no way. And he turns the mountains, the valleys into straight roads. He makes a way. You come and go, where do I go from here? He's about to make a way. He's about to make a way. That's what makes you perfect and complete. That's what makes your faith perfect and complete. So that's why the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. For some of you, it's not been a lack of faith. It's been a lack of fight. You are fighting the good fight of faith. You're 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 fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpv.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.